Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 2709 Rock Springs Road in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stoniker. For information and service times, visit www.ksgc.church. And now, Gabe Stoniker.
I would like to bring a message to you today from Colossians chapter 3. If you would like to read along with me, I will be in Colossians chapter 3. And the last line of verse 11, the very end of verse 11 says, Christ is all and in all. What a wonderful line that is. Christ is all and in all. Christ is everything. Christ is everything. And He is the reason for everything. He is everything. And He is the reason for everything. He is the accomplishment. And He is the reason for everything concerning us. Everything. And that's what I want us to enter into today. Christ is all and in all. His work is all, and what He accomplished in His work is all. In everything that He did it all. Christ is all. Christ is all. I'd like for us to consider what He accomplished in all that He did, His work, and what He accomplished in it. That's what I want us to look at this morning. Now, there was a man who lived in the late 1800s and the early 1900s named J. Wilbur Chapman. That was the man's name. And he wrote a song that we sing in our hymnal here in our congregation. And every time I think about the words of this song, I think two things. Number one, I believe this man knew the gospel. I believe this man knew something of the truth of the gospel. And number two, I do not believe that the work of Christ could be more clearly set forth than the way He set it forth in the words of this song. I think He so clearly declared Christ and His work and His accomplishment. And the song is called One Day. That's the name of the song, One Day. And in the chorus of that song, Mr. Chapman wrote, Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, O glorious day. That was Christ's work, and that's what He accomplished in His work. That's what the Father sent Him to do, and that's what He did. Now, in those lines, Mr. Chapman told us, Christ was all, and He was in all. That's what he's saying. Christ did it all. Christ was the reason for it all. And from the Scriptures, I want us to see that. Let's enter into the fact that Christ was doing and accomplishing all of the work for His people. And I want to use that simple outline that Mr. Chapman gave to us in his song, okay? We're going to start right here. This is what our Lord was doing in accomplishing the work that His Father sent Him to do. Living, He loved us. The Father sent Him to earth. He came in the form of man, as man comes into this world, as an infant born into the world. And He grew up and He lived. He was on this earth for 33 and a half years. And in the entire portion of His life, what He was doing, what He was accomplishing the whole time that He walked this earth is He was loving His people. He was earning a righteousness for His people. He was earning a perfection for His people. Living, He was loving His people. Let's see that in John chapter 11. In John 11, verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." He loved them. He loved them. What a blessed people. You know that? What a blessed people to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. What a thing to be said about a sinner. What an amazing thing that could possibly be said about a sinner, that the Lord Jesus Christ loved that sinner. Right here in John 11, verse 32 says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying unto Him, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled." That means He troubled Himself. "And He said, Where have you laid Him? They said unto Him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how He loved Him." Behold how He loved Him. Oh, behold. That's so beautiful, isn't it? He loved Him. He loved them. He loves all of His people. Every soul the Father gave to Him, He loves them. In John chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." He loved them unto the end. That's what He did while He was in this world. He loved His own to the end. He loved His people to the end. Verse 23 right here says, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples whom Jesus loved." We're in the Gospel of John, and the Apostle John, he was talking about himself. He never said his own name. He always said the one whom the Lord Jesus Christ loved. And, you know, we think of the humility in that, that John would not say his own name. But think about the boldness of that. John said, "I know He loved me." He kept saying, "the one whom the Lord Jesus Christ loved. I know He loved me. He proved it to me. He told me. He proved it. He walked with me. He talked with me. He told me I was His own." Verse 34 right here, the Lord said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another as I have loved you." Romans 8, verse 37 says, "We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." We've been made to be conquerors all because He loved us. His love was the reason for it all. That's the point. His love was the accomplishment of it all. Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us." He was rich in mercy toward us. That's what we sinners need, is mercy. We need mercy and forgiveness for our sins, and He was so rich in mercy toward us because He loved us. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Revelation 1, verse 5 says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, He loved us." He loved His people. He loved every soul that the Father chose and gave to Him to redeem and to save. Living, He loved us. That's what He did. It's not that we loved Him, the Scripture says, but that He loved us. Greater love had no man. God commended His love toward His people. So it was all because of Christ. Hopefully we can see that. It was all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Father choosing us was all because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 42, the Father said, "Christ is my elect." That's what the Father said. Christ is my elect. I choose Him. That's what He was saying. I choose Him. And in Ephesians 1, He said, "I have chosen you in Him," only because of Him. He was the accomplisher of love, and He was the reason for love, living. He loved us. He loved His people. That is just such a beautiful declaration to me. That's good news. That's what you call good news. Now, Mr. Chapman, in his song, he went on to say, "Dying, He saved me. Dying, He saved His people." Dying, the Lord Jesus Christ saved His people. Another song says, "Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." He shall. How is He going to do that? He's going to suffer and die the judgment and the penalty of God for the sake of His people, in the place of His people. Everything that's owed to them, He's going to take it upon Himself. A song says, "Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, who were blind and unheeding." Unheeding. They didn't obey, they didn't listen, they didn't come, they didn't desire. But He was dying for those very people. "Dying for me," the song says. Christ was all in our salvation. Christ is all. When it comes to salvation, Christ is all and in all of it. It's not Christ is some of it and we're the other part of it. He is most of it and we're the rest. Absolutely not. Christ is all. He is all in our salvation. This is what Hebrews chapter 1 says. Hebrews 1 verse 1, it says, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners," or different manners, different ways, "spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds." Now listen to verse 3. It says, "who being the brightness of His glory," God's glory, "and the express image of His person," God's person, "can only be seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high." He by Himself purged the sins of His people. By Himself. Salvation is not a cooperation between God and us. Christ accomplished it alone. By Himself, He satisfied everything that the law had against us. The law had condemnation against us because of all of our sin against the law. It said, "You've broken the law, you've broken the law, you've broken the law," in every way, shape, and form. And by Himself, Christ satisfied the law for us. By His own blood, He paid the debt of the law for us. And He obtained eternal redemption for us alone, alone. When He by Himself alone suffered and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, there's another song that says, a ransom was found. You've heard of a ransom price. You have to pay the price. If you want to get the reward, you got to pay the ransom price. Well, a ransom was found. Yes, a ransom was found. Love paid the price on Calvary's mound. Judgment was met, the law satisfied, and mercy was born when a ransom was found. That's where mercy was born, right there at the cross of Calvary. There's one reason only for our forgiveness. One reason only for our redemption with God. And it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not us changing our ways. It's not us doing anything. There's one reason only. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, it's for Christ's sake. That's why God forgave us. That's why God accepted us. It's for Christ's sake. When it comes to the accomplishment of our forgiveness and the accomplishment of our redemption and the accomplishment of our salvation, Christ is all and in all. Period. Living, He loved His people. Dying, He saved His people. I love this. Buried, He carried our sins far away. Like the ordinance of the scapegoat, you may have heard of in the Old Testament, there was an ordinance on a scapegoat. They would take a goat, and the high priest would symbolically, not literally, but symbolically, transfer the sins of the people to the goat. He would lay his hands on the head of the goat, and symbolically, it represented Christ. And with all the sins of the people being laid on him, they would take that goat as far as it could possibly be taken so that there was no way the goat could find its way home. And that represented the sins of God's people being taken so far away, there's no possibility of them ever returning again. In that, they were gone. Not only did Christ save us, but He sanctified us. He cleansed us. He removed all of that from us. Not only did He spare us God's wrath and punishment, but He washed us and He made us clean. Not only did He deliver us from judgment, He completely rid us of what brought judgment to us in the first place. Completely rid us of it. You may remember more than 10 years ago, 10, 12, 13, I don't know, there was a big oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm sure if you were around then, you probably remember it. And it required a huge cleanup effort. Huge. And part of that cleanup effort was to go gather all the animals that suffered from this oil spill, all the birds that were just covered in oil. They would land down in this oil and it would get on them, and then they'd try to get out and they would get stuck and weighted down and they'd just become covered in oil. And the news was showing pictures of these boats. These people would get in boats and they'd go around and reach down and scoop up these birds and deliver them. They would reach way down like our God did for us, our God did for His people. They would reach down and scoop them up and deliver them from death. That's certain death had they just been left there. They would die. And they would scoop them up and they'd put them in the boat and deliver them from all that destruction. But that's not all they did. After that, they would take them back to their lab or whatever they had there, and they would wash all that oil off of them. And they would scrub those birds down. And I remember seeing video of that. And it was so precious to see them just get clean, spotless, removed from all that oil, washed away. And then once it was all gone, they'd set them free. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for His people. Not only did He deliver them from death, but He removed all that spot from them, and He removed all that stain from them, and everything that was bringing them to death in the first place, and then He set them free. That's what He did. Living, He loved us. Dying, He saved us. Buried, He carried our sins far away, so far away they are gone, never to return again. And if you want to see one of my favorite verses of Scripture, it's Jeremiah 50, verse 20. It says, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord," in that great day, the great day of the Lord, when all of His people go to be with Him and they're standing before the throne of glory. "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel," that means His chosen people, all the redeemed people, "the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall be sought for," it says, "and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserved." All of my reserved people, they're going to be washed, cleansed, pardoned. All their sins are going to be gone. In Christ, because of Christ alone, the sins of God's people are taken away, away. Our sins are all taken away, never to be found again. Is that not wonderful news? "Buried, He carried our sins far away." That's what He did while He laid in that tomb for 3 days. That's what He accomplished. And then 3 days later, rising, He justified His people freely forever. That's what He did when He arose from that grave, with the sin being gone. Now it's all gone. The Father said, "Accepted. Accepted. Well done. Worthy is the Lamb." And every soul in the Lamb is worthy with Him, worthy in Him. He is justified. What He did, God said, justified in it. He is justified, and all of His people are justified in Him. Every soul the Father placed in Him. Ephesians 1 says, and that's to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. In other words, Christ is all. Christ is all in our justification before God. This is what Romans 3 says. Romans 3, verse 19. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." We know that the law says every soul has sinned and is guilty before God. Verse 20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight." That means we cannot obey the Bible and earn the reward of heaven. We can't. We just can't. If we could obey God's law, we would walk through the gates, but we can't. Only Christ did. There's only one man who obeyed the law. "For us," verse 20 says, "by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." It just keeps showing us what sinners we are. Verse 21 says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." Christ was manifested, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets." That means everything was pointing to Him. All the Scripture was pointing to Him. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation," that means an atonement, a blood covering, "through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." That means in Christ, God was just in punishing our sins. And God was the justifier of us because Christ accomplished that punishment. Verse 27 says, "Where is boasting then on our part?" It's excluded. "By what law? Of works?" No, by the law of faith, just looking to Christ. "Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." How are we justified? being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's what that means. Christ is all. That's what it means. Christ is all and in all. It's all because of Him. He is the reason for every bit of it. Living, He loved us. Dying, He saved us. Buried, He carried our sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. Now one day, He is coming. Oh, glorious day. One day soon, He is coming back to gather all those who He was made to be all for. Does that make sense? He is coming back to gather all who He came to do all of that for. One day soon, all those who look for Him and wait for Him and desire His coming, Christ, all of our comfort, Christ, all of our joy, Christ, who is all of our hope and all of our salvation, Christ, the only one we're looking to, the only one we're waiting for, He will come back to gather us to Himself. He will. One day soon, He is coming back for all of His people. And it's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be such a glorious day. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. Every soul that has gone to be with Him is coming back with Him on that great day. Verse 15 says, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that glorious? Every soul He accomplished this for, He's coming back for every one of them. And in John 17, He said, none of them will be lost. That's our gospel. That's our good news.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can call or write to the number and address on your screen or visit www.ksgc.church. Tune in at this same time next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.